Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That's where we'll stop reading right there. And I know we've used this thought before, even since we've been here at Dutch Bottoms. But this is kind of what the Lord's laid on our heart. So in verse 7, the last line of verse 7 says, because there was no room for them in the inn. And if I had a thought or a text, it would be no room. Lord, please help us for just a few minutes. I was talking to Danny, I guess it's been a couple years ago, during our pageant, and he was the innkeeper during our drive-through pageant that we have, and he was telling me after two or three nights of it, he kind of just felt guilty, because there was the characters, Joseph and Mary, standing in front of him, and he had to be the innkeeper that said, no. No, I can't let you in. And I got to thinking about this scripture, and if the Lord will help us, we're going to use this and some other places, but this says, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, did you listen to the verses before that verse, where it talked about Joseph, and it talked about that he was of the house and lineage of David, and he went, you might say he went back home. He went back to his hometown. He went back to the place where his family was from. You would think that that being the city where David's, where Joseph's family lived, where he was from, where he had family, where he had friends, that there would surely be a family member or a friend or somebody that could make room. And yet, we see Jesus being born in a stable in Bethlehem. Now, I don't know the reason why. Maybe it was because Joseph's family knew that before Joseph and Mary were married, before they came together, before whenever they were, I guess you could say, engaged to be married, espoused to one another, that Mary became with child. And there was some shame involved with a woman that was unmarried and with child. And today, people would say, why? Adultery is adultery. Now you pray for me for just a few minutes. I'd really like to get Mike out of the way and preach to you for just a few minutes. And maybe that might have been the reason. They might have held that against Mary and didn't realize. I know, we know in this day and age that Mary was carrying the Christ child. We know in this day and age what that child was going to do.
We know that he was going to give his life on Calvary and become our Savior. But Joseph's family might not have known that. The angel didn't speak to Joseph's family. The angel only spoke to Joseph and Mary. And maybe that was why they didn't invite Joseph and Mary in to have that child in their home. I don't know, but they didn't make room when room was needed. They refused and turned them away. And so they went to the innkeeper and he said, "No room. I don't have a place for you." And they turned him away. They rejected him. And preacher, that's a good story. That's a good Bible story about the birth of Christ. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 53. You know what it said? It said, "He is despised and rejected among men." And it didn't say was, it said is. You see, people still are rejecting the Lord and turning away in this day and age. They're making no room for the Savior in 2024. We wonder why that our lives are just in ruin. We wonder why that it's all sorrow and misery. We wonder why when we take one step forward, we wind up with three steps back. The reason is we make no room for the Savior. We spend no time in His Word. We spend no time on our knees talking to Him. We spend no time at the house of God. We have nothing for Him. And we wonder why when trouble comes our way that He don't just appear right on the scene and miraculously take care of us. He is rejected of men. He said, "I've called." I didn't think about going here. "I've called and I've called and you've refused." And it said there'll be a day when I'll lie at your calamity. Friends, He makes time for those that make time for Him.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
All right. No room.
Bless Him, Lord.
I guess it was Brother Terry Green preached on this during the revival about the man sick of the palsy. And I'm not going to go all through it.
Bless Him,
Lord. Talks about that he had four friends that cared enough about him. He couldn't help himself and he was helpless. And he had four friends that carried him down there where Jesus was at because it was noise that he was in the house. And a great crowd came to hear the words of Jesus and to be touched and to be healed. And I know everybody has needs. And when they got down there with the man sick of the palsy, they couldn't get him through the door. And you know why they couldn't get him through the door? Because there was no room. There was people standing everywhere. They couldn't even get him through the door. If we're not careful, I realize we've had a good revival. One of the better revivals that we've had since I've been your pastor. Just this past week. But if we're not careful, we'll be so consumed with ourselves. We'll be so eat up with sin. We'll be so weighted down with the cares of this world. We'll make no room for the sinner man when he comes in the door. Let me tell you something. Well, how can I make room for the sinner? I'm not talking about sliding over on the pew so they can sit down. I'm talking about getting everything out of our lives. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And if we can get to Jesus, then we'll make room for them to get there.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Amen, man.
Those poor fellas couldn't get through the door because people were in the way. Did you know you can help people get to Jesus or you can hinder them to get to Jesus?
Amen.
You can be a welcoming sight
bless
or you can be a stumbling block.
Yeah.
All right. They had to go up on the roof of the house and get everything out of the way and lower him down so that he could get to Jesus. Satan's going to put everything that he can in your way to keep your people from getting to Jesus.
Amen.
Don't give up.
That's right.
Right. Don't give in. Don't be disheartened. Yeah. Don't be disappointed. Be determined. Let whatever it takes. Yeah. You're going to get your people to the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. No room. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought to himself, what will I do? For I have no room wherefore to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger. And I'll have place wherefore to bestow all my fruits. And I'll say, ah, soul, thou hast many things laid up for many years. Eat, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall these things be? You know where we're at in this day and age? I've got to have my new car. I've got to have a big home. I've got to have a big boat. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. And we're consumed with the things of this world. Amen. And we make no room for Jesus. Amen. We make no room for His Spirit. We make no room for His Word. We make no room for Him to talk to us in the cool of the day. Listen, you don't ever wonder why that the Lord came down through the garden in the cool of the day. I'm sure Adam was consumed with doing this, with doing that to keep the garden. Maybe talking to Eve. Maybe had a lot of things to do. And that might have been the one time that he could talk consistently to Adam and get his attention. I found out along life's way. I stay so busy during the day and have a million different things to do. But a lot of times, when I lay down and the lights are off and everything's quiet, the Lord will come by and He'll speak a little word to me. Oh, listen, that we make room for everything else. I have students, they'll call me after school. Want this, want that. Parent call me just today around 4:30, 5 o'clock, wanting to check on their student and see what they were doing. You know what I did? I made time for them. And you know what we do? We make time. We want to be nice, don't we? We want to be polite. We want to be courteous. We want to be accepted. And we'll make room for everything and everybody. But the one thing we don't take time to make room for is Jesus.
Amen. 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 Come on, Bruce.
Bless Him, Lord.
Amen.
What good's a boat going to do me when I stand before the Lord?
Amen.
What good is a brand new car going to do? He don't want to ride it. What good's a brand new car going to do for me when I stand before Jesus? He's not going to be concerned with what I own. He's going to be concerned with whether or not I trusted Him and gave my heart and life to Him. He's going to be concerned with whether or not I obeyed His voice and did what He asked me to do along life's way. We get so convoluted and so concerned with the things of this life till we make no room for the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. Well, preacher,
bless Him, Lord. Bless Him good.
There is a place where you can find Him. You can do exactly what Amelia did just a few minutes ago.
Amen.
The world may reject you. Don't be surprised about that. You're never going to be popular.
That's right.
Amen.
Being a Christian is not a popularity contest. If it was, they'd have put Jesus on a throne and a crown on His head rather than taking Him to the cross.
Amen.
If it was a popularity contest, Herod had stepped aside and said, here, Jesus. He didn't do that, did he? He is despised and rejected of men. Marvel not that the world hates you, for it hated me before it hated you. You know who said that? Jesus.
Amen.
The world is not going to make room for you. The world is not going to be your friend. They may pretend to be, but they'll eat you up, chew you up, and swallow you, and spew you out.
Amen.
You'll wake up with a life that's ruined. You want to know where there is room for you? Exactly where Amelia found room. Just to
Amen.
Go.
Amen. Come on.
Down at the altar.
Amen.
Now, I like that song, don't you? Down on my knees. I have found He always makes room for me.
Amen.
I'm sure there are millions of sinners at any given moment calling on His name, asking for mercy, asking for grace, asking for deeds here and deeds there. And yet, in a world where there are millions of sinners at any given moment crying on His name, He makes room for one more.
Amen.
He makes
Amen.
Time for one more. I like the song too. It says, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares.
Amen.
Casting all your Bless cares you, upon Him, for He careth for you. How do you know He cares, preacher? Because I've gone before Him with a broken heart. I've got down in tears falling and me pleading, and then a feeling of comfort and peace flood my soul, and I got down troubled and got up with a smile on my face because He came by for a little while and made room for in His busy day for a sinner and a wretch like me.
Amen. Amen. Bless
you. You know where there is room for you? There's room for you in God's Word.
Amen.
I don't care where you're at or what's going on in your life. There is something in the B-I-B-L-E that will be applicable to you for that day.
Amen.
There's how do you know, preacher? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Bless
so let me ask you this. And I've done this several nights last week. I was the last one out the door. And inevitably, I would flip the switches back there. All the lights in the sanctuary be off, except for the one over the stand. Or all the lights in the sanctuary be off, and you all that have turned the lights off, I don't know what I'm getting at, except for the one in the baptistry. So I would have to walk all the way back up to the front of the church, back here to the hallway, and flip this switch or that switch to turn that light off, and then walk back through the sanctuary in the dark. Would you rather walk through this world in the dark or rather have a light to light your path?
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Because all there is in this world is darkness.
Amen.
I had to be really careful after I flipped the switch back there and watch very carefully. As a matter of fact, I'd get my phone out and I'd turn the flashlight on just to see where I was going to keep from bumping into the pews. This world is a lot more dangerous than the sanctuary that we're sitting
Amen.
In tonight. There's things that will destroy you. Satan has a plan for you. He's got things in your path to destroy every bit of confidence anybody ever had in you. He's got things in your path to cause your marriage to fall all to pieces. He's got things in your path to cost you your job, to cost you your loved ones, to cost you everything that you had. Job was a perfect and upright man, and you see what Satan did with him in just a few days. You think you're any better than Job? I'd say I fall far below the measure of Job, and Satan can destroy me in a heartbeat. But I've got news for you. The Lord made room for a sinner like me, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, I believe I need to preach this just a minute. What did God do? He spoke, and the world came into existence. He took just a handful of dust and made us a nothing out of nobody, something that was worthless, into his image and in his likeness. He parted the Red Sea so the children of Israel could escape on the dry land. He worked miracle after miracle. He caused the dead to rise. He sent his son to be a savior and redeem us all. Tell me he's not greater than Satan. I believe he's got him. And if you've read the book, he wins.
Come on, preacher. Amen.
All right.
Bless him, Lord.
No room. Some of you may be like me. I have worked days that I should have been home.
Amen.
Went to work sick because it was easier to work sick than it was to find somebody to substitute and do my job. I've worked on Saturdays. I've worked on Sunday a time or two. You're still a teacher. Well, you do what you can do to help, no matter what day of the week it is.
Amen.
You might say I was a slave to my job. But I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back.
Bless
you. I'm going to be that dedicated to my job, or to be more dedicated to my Lord.
Amen.
Or to be more dedicated. Church ought to come first.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him.
What's the number, Debbie? 400 and something. 488 right now, members. On the roll book at Dutch Bottoms. And I got a smile on my face Sunday. And you probably did too, because we had a good number on the board.
Amen.
That's about 20%. Of the membership. Mm. You want to know where the other 80% are? They made no room.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
They made no room for the Lord. Now, preacher, you're judging. I realize we have people that are sick, that are unable to be here. I understand that. But I believe if somebody gave his life for me, I should be willing to give all I've got for him.
Amen.
All right.
No room. That's the truth.
No room. Malachi chapter 3. I think it's verse 8. It may be verse 10. It says, "Prove me now therewith. Bring all the meat into the storehouse. And see, how long has it been since you've proven me, man?" I like to rely on Mike. But I found out Mike doesn't always prove out. I found out that Mike can disappoint me. I found out that Mike don't always know the best thing to do. I found out that Mike can stumble and fall and break all the pieces, that fragile thing I was trying to hold on to. Prove me. How long has it been since you've proven the Lord? Since you figured out there was nothing you could do about your situation, so you took it to the Lord and you left it at his feet and you said, "Please, God, you take it because I can't anymore." And you proved it, and he took that precious thing that you laid down at his feet and he made a miracle out of it.
Amen.
He's done it for me once. He'll do it again and again and again. He proves out every time.
Amen. Amen.
Prove me thou therewith. Bring all of me. Don't bring part of it. John's a butcher. If I'm not mistaken, Keith took a beef to you not long ago.
Yeah, last week.
Did you give him about half the meat?
Gave him all of it.
You gave him all of it.
Amen. Come on.
Prove me thou therewith. Bring all the meat. Would you buy a beef and not take the steak? Would you buy a beef and not take the hamburger? Prove me now therewith. You know what the Lord wants? That same three-letter word that the Lord's impressed me with. Nearly every message I've preached at Dutch Bottoms lately. And you had to give it for us to have a revival.
Amen.
You had to give it all to Him.
Amen. Come on.
Prove me now. Thank you, Lord. Bless prove him. Me now therewith.
Bless Him, Lord.
Bring all the meat into the storehouse. Bring all you've got to Him. I'm not talking about hamburger. I'm not talking about steak. I'm talking about you and all that you are. He's not interested in your car title. He's not interested in your house theme. He's interested in you and what you're going to offer Him. Present your body. Hey, listen, is this not Bible?
Amen.
Present your body. A living sacrifice. Holy. Not twice dead, plucked up by the roots.
Amen.
Not filthy. Holy. And acceptable unto Him. Amen. Which is your reasonable service. Well, when we get a revival, preacher, I can get up there and get right and get clean. He said it was your reasonable service. He means for us to stay holy and acceptable every day.
Amen. 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 Come on.
That's some hard
Amen.
Stuff.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bring all the meat into the storehouse and prove me now therewith. And you know what He'll do when we give Him all? When we give Him all, you know what He'll do? And see, and I won't pour you out a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
So much that you have no room
Amen.
To contain.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you.
Bless Him, Lord.
We used to sing this little song whenever I was a little boy, standing beside the piano with Pat Cody at Reagan. Remember this? Running over, running over. My cup is full and running over. Here's why. Since the Lord saved me,
Amen.
I'm as happy as can be.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Woo! I'm coming full and running over.
Amen. Come on. Come on. Bless
you.
Bless
you.
Thank you.
Bless
you. Bless you. Becky sung a song. Not too long ago, I heard her say it better than I deserve. That's what He's given me.
Amen.
I don't deserve all the blessings the Lord's given me. I don't deserve. He gave me a Christian family that raised me up in church and prayed in front of me and honored the Lord and loved their brothers and sisters in Christ and lived right in front of me.
Amen.
You're telling me I deserve such as that?
Come on, bless Him, Lord.
Gave me a job that I've always, listen, we've never gone hungry. I've always been able to make the house payment. I've always been able to keep an old car running so I could get there back and forth. He gave me that so I could pay my bills and provide for my family. You telling me I deserve something as that?
Bless him, Lord.
A little old wretched sinner boy, and that's what I was. A sinner! Well, preacher, you didn't get out and commit adultery. You wouldn't have drunk. You wouldn't have murdered. It does not matter. I was a sinner, lost, and on my way to hell, and had nothing to offer. I didn't have a dime in my pocket. We were poor as poor could be, and I didn't deserve heaven, but he gave it to me anyway. Let's go a little closer than that. I didn't even deserve salvation, but he redeemed me when he saved my soul. Yes, I can say I'm blessed. I can't contain it, Johnny.
Bless
him. Running over to, well, preacher, I wish you'd shut your mouth. I can't. God's been too good to me. The blessings just keep spilling over and over and over.
Amen. Come on, preacher. Bless him, Lord.
That's good.
I remember a lady at Fugit. We used to get together when I was at Round Mountain. Oh, it was about 8 different churches would come together and have a quarterly singing. And she sung a song that said, "I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup is overflowing."
Amen. Come on.
I'm afraid a saucer couldn't contain my blessings.
Amen.
A 5-gallon bucket couldn't even contain
them. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And I doubt seriously if a dump truck could.
That's right.
Let's cover that one more time.
Come on.
This is in Malachi chapter 3. It's either verse 8 or verse 10. I can't remember exactly. It said, "Bring all the meat, all, into the storehouse, and prove me now therewith. And see that I won't pour you out a blessing." Now, I'm not quoting it exactly. That's why I want you to look it up. "See if I won't pour you out a blessing that you have not enough room," something of that nature, "to contain it. If I ask you to raise your hand, if you want to be blessed, Lord, every hand in the house will go up with you. This is the recipe for you to be blessed. If I wanted to know how to make a cake, one of you ladies might could write it down. An egg and some flour and icing and milk and I don't know what all. But you could write it down and say, these are the steps. And if I followed the recipe, in about an hour and a half, I'd have a cake. Everybody wants to be blessed. You know what the trouble is? We don't want to follow the recipe.
Amen.
Bring all, A-L-L, all that you are. Everything, every fiber in your being before the Lord. Bring all the meat into the storehouse and prove me. But you know, it's a scientific fact. If you run out of oxygen, you will die. That's proof, right?
Amen.
Put you in a container, and they pull all the oxygen out of that container, you'll quit breathing and you'll die. And just that's proof. The Lord is asking you to prove Him.
bring all the meat into the storehouse and prove me now therewith. And see if I don't pour you in out a blessing that there is not any room to contain it. I told you, 5-gallon bucket, a saucer wouldn't do it, a 5-gallon bucket wouldn't do it, a dump truck wouldn't do it. The Amazon warehouse couldn't hold it. The Walmart distribution center couldn't contain it. God's been too good to me.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
But you catch me on the wrong day, and I'll talk to you about my back. You catch me on the wrong day, and I'll talk to you and complain about my job. You catch me on the wrong day, and I'll whine or fuss about what so-and-so said or did or didn't say. I should be counting my blessings.
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
Because I don't deserve any of them, and you don't either, if you want to tell the truth. Why don't you be honest with yourself? Mm-hmm. Tell the truth. We should be on shouting ground.
Amen.
God has been so good to us. We like to sing the songs, don't we? But we very seldom open our mouth. And as a preacher, I just don't like to talk. Did he save you?
Yes.
Okay. If he saved you, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What's the last part of that verse say? Mm-hmm. And with the mouth, confession is made. Salvation. Now I'm about to come to a close here in a minute. I know it's getting late. Did you know there's a time to talk? Did you know that? There's a time to talk. I've seen folks that were so religious that people around them dreaded to see them coming. Wanted to talk, and it's good to talk, and there's nothing better to talk about than to talk about the Lord. But I can't talk to you and be a help to you except the Spirit give me the words to say.
Amen.
I'll go a little farther. You're not going to like this. Without the Spirit, ye are none of mine.
Amen.
Amen.
We fill this up. We got a lot of head religion. And we make no room in the heart. I just quoted a verse for with the heart men believe in the righteousness. This is, I heard Mike Potter, an old time preacher I grew up under. He said, this is heart work.
Yeah.
If you don't put your heart in it, you're never going to help anybody. You know what's going to help your church, help my church? If we make room for Jesus.
Amen.
You know what's going to help me personally? If I make room for Jesus. Let me say this. Revelations. He said this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and openeth up, who had to open the door? I did. You did. I will come in and sup with him. With me. So if you want Jesus in your life, you have to let him in. That's a good place to stop, preacher. I've got one more little thing for you. Well, Satan's just given me a fit. Has he? And I'm sure he has. He throws stuff up at me all the time. He throws stuff up at you all the time. But you know what causes me to be weighed down? You know what causes me to get to the point where I'm bothered with it? Let not your heart be troubled. The only way he can affect me is if I let him in.
Amen. Come on, Bruce.
I appreciate your testimony tonight. You could have very well have took that thing that angered you, that frustrated you, and let it affect you to the point to where you raised your voice or you hurt someone with the words, and just a few words in just a few seconds can kill you. They can hurt somebody that you love. But you did the right thing. You said a prayer, you trusted the Lord, he took care of it.
Amen.
You made room for him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's what we need to do every time.
Amen.
Every day. Dawn sings a song, "I can't make it, Lord,
Amen.
Without you."
Amen.
We need to make room for him every day.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
All
right.
Amen. Please. Thank you.